right, ready?
Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, time to call the April 14th, 2014 meeting of the Planning Commission. This is a public hearing. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards. That's not here. Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedures?
I'd like to welcome you to the April 14th, 2014 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. If you do wish to comment at the public hearing, we've got the two sign-up sheets in the front that have been provided. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. Each of the Division 3 applications heard this evening will be voted upon during the Monday, April 21st, Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
And everybody signed up that wanted to speak tonight? Did you want to do this first before the applicant?
Yeah, if that's all right. Okay, the first case is case number 2014-2. The project is All Star International LLC Nightly Rental. The applicants are David and Kathy Grody. And this is the property in question. It's a little hard to see here, but we'll zoom in. And this is on Tina Street. The property is located at 350 Tina Street in the Oliver Township, Section 27, Township 22, Range 22. And we've got a north, south, east, and west view of the property in question. The applicants are requesting approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to utilize an existing five-bedroom single-family residence for nightly rental. Per the assessor's information, the single-family residence was constructed in 1980. Prior to the adoption of the Development Guidance Code, the approximately 2,319 square-foot single-family residence is currently listed with MLS as containing five bedrooms and three bathrooms. The property in question is served by sewer via the Taney County Regional Sewer District and water via a private well. The current application was approved for concept on March 17th of this year. Again, this is the subject property. It's approximately 13,570 square feet, or 3/10 of an acre lot. It's a meets and bounds described parcel of land, which contains the approximately 2,319 square foot five-bedroom house, also a detached garage, and a small accessory building located at 350 Tina Street. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days, counting portions of days as full days. So currently, the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater. but the applicant is seeking to rent this for periods of less than 30 days. The applicants indicated that the exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for nightly rental shall be two persons per dwelling unit, plus two persons per bedroom. Therefore, for this five-bedroom home, it would have a maximum occupancy of 12 people per the regulations. The property is served, again, by a private well and the Taney County Regional Sewer District. The property is also served by two existing drives directly off of Tina Street. Per the nightly rental provisions, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each two persons of occupancy in the nightly rental. Therefore, in this case, a total of six parking spaces would be required. The residence is currently served by a two-car garage and also a single detached one-car garage and two respective driveways. The property would be able to accommodate a total of approximately six vehicles between the two garages and the parking lots or driveways. A nightly rental application, as you know, falls under the provisions of a Division III special use permit. Per these provisions, a special use permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. Per the provisions of the Development Code, the special use permit cannot be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. The applicants have adopted house rules, which were included in the Planning Commission packets. But one thing is, during the concept hearing, it was discovered that the occupancy requirements would have to be amended to meet the requirements of the Development Guidance Code. The adjoining property immediately to the north, of course, is owned by the Corps of Engineers in Table Rock Lake. The adjoining property to the south is Tina Street and single-family residential. The adjoining property to the west is single-family residential. And the adjoining property immediately to the east is single-family residential with the Vickery Resort condominiums being located further to the east. The project received a total score of negative 24 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consists of off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. And the staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the County Assessor's Office, the Missouri Department of Revenue, the Taney County Regional Sewer District, and the Taney County Health Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, a copy of a valid merchant's license via the Taney County Collector's Office shall be provided to the Planning Department. Fourth, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department prior to the issuance of the Certificate of Compliance. A no tax due letter from the Missouri Department of Revenue shall be submitted to the Planning Department office annually, indicating that the sales taxes have been paid. Five, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Six, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Seven, this residence shall accommodate no more than 12 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. Eight, the All-Star International LLC nightly rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. And number nine, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. We've got just a brief video of the property. And we've just done a quick pan of the front of the existing residence. And this is the single detached garage. And we've done just a quick 360 to show the adjoining area and adjoining properties. And I think I just shot a little bit at the back of the house, basically.
Is David or Kathy Goody here?
Grodak.
Would you please come up, sir? I'm going to have you kind of tell the people what you propose to do here.
Okay.
Before we get started with any public comment.
Okay.
Sorry.
Please address this way.
Address this way, okay. Yeah, what we'd like to do is do a nightly rental on the for the residents, and our plan is to just rent it for the months of June, July, and August, 13 weeks, for a 13-week period doing a nightly rental. We have house rules, a list of house rules here, which are pretty strict. Any violation of them would be the occupants would be subject to forfeiting their deposit, and they'd have to vacate the residence if they violate them. We have a Lightfoot Enterprises would be managing the property, and Tracy Lightfoot is back there with us, sitting by my wife. We made an attempt to contact everybody on. We were given a list of approximately 68 parcels, owners, I guess, and we attempted to contact everybody on that list, but we were unable to obtain phone numbers for everybody. But anyways, we spoke with a total of 38. That's 33 plus 5 associated with Vickery Resort, which is a few houses down from us. And we received approximately 74% of the ones we contacted were okay with it. They gave us a yes. They were undecided, or they really didn't have an opinion. They didn't care. 26% of the people we contacted were against it. And we have letters from many of the people that were for it. We have letters stating, you know, that they're okay with it, that we can provide to you gentlemen. And so I guess that's about all I have to say. That's what we'd like to do.
Excuse me, sir. Did you provide to the people you talked to with the list of your house rules?
We did. Okay. Each person that we received the letters from, we provided a list of the house rules. And we also have updated house rules here if you'd like a copy of them also. We gave you all a copy last time.
Well, it should be in our, it's the same thing that's in our packet.
I think it's been updated since then.
I think we updated them just to, there were some issues.
Okay. Thank you.
I think there were some issues that came out.
David, could you explain those percentages again to me, where you've got those 68 and certain people? You brought up Vickery Resort. Did you, the majority of those people, were they staying or owners of Vickery Resort?
There were five. We don't have a letter from Vickery Resort, but I think
there are some folks here from Vickery Resort, and I'm not sure of their position.
But tell me those percentages again.
Okay. There were a list of 68, and so we spoke to, let's see, a total of 38. So out of the 38 that we spoke to, we came up with 74%. Of those were yes.
And where were they? Were they homeowners, or were they owners of parts of Vickery Resort?
None of them were Vickery Resort.
No.
I don't think Vickery Resort gave us an opinion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So they were undecided, I believe. So I believe 74% were yes, undecided, or didn't care. And I believe Vickery Resort is part of that 74%. Was my understanding. And so, and that's of the people we contacted. So 26% were against it, of the people we contacted.
Okay, you just made a statement a few minutes ago that you were only going to operate this for the month of June, July, and August. Is that correct?
That's correct. 13 weeks.
13 weeks. Now, is that, that would need to be included if that's what he wants. That's a, you know, and that, if that's what he gets to
so
pass this.
If the permit is issued, it'll say June,
that,
July,
that
August.
Could be written as a condition.
Okay, and who's the manager of this property?
Lightfoot Enterprises. That would be Tracy Lightfoot and her husband, who's not here, but I think.
Yes, would you come please up? We have one member of the board would like to ask some questions of the manager.
Good evening.
Tell us how you're going to manage it.
Well,
on a daily basis, weekly, how are you going to?
We are available 24/7 as far as to the Grode Eyes and their needs. So in the months of June, July, and August, we have a 24-hour service that will be available. So if there's any problems with the property, any maintenance issues, my husband is facility maintenance.
Located here or in Branson? Or
we're in Forsyth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we would advertise for just those months in a calendar, for instance, on some of the websites like VRBO.com, Home Away From Home, Flip Key. I would take the phone calls, book it, screen people personally for the Grode Eyes, so we know exactly, you know, what type of people we have that are coming in and renting the property.
Are you physically going to see the property more than when you clean the property, or
yes,
are you going to drive by there a couple times a day, or what's going to be the situation there?
We would clean the property, and then we would also do drive-bys at least 1 to 2 times per that person's stay. So if you have somebody who's just coming for 2 nights, you know, we would come probably at the end of, you know, the check-in's not even until the afternoon. So if they're there
is
for
there
2 days.
Minimum night?
Well, they would have a 2-night minimum.
2-night minimum.
Yes.
Do you have other businesses like this you manage currently?
I have I have helped, I am a real estate agent, a licensed real estate agent in Branson, and 90% of my clientele are vacation or nightly rental investors, and I have assisted them getting their businesses set up. In the past, I've also worked for over 2.5 years with Branson Tourism Center, so I do have experience managing and assisting bookings and managing properties.
In your experience, how has your nightly rentals that you manage gotten along with the community?
Very well. I mean, we have not had, you know, you have house rules, they sign off on them. Every once in a while, you have somebody who may not want to follow that. They're asked to leave. They forfeit their deposit. We don't have any occurrences.
Do you know if there's any other nightly rentals that you manage in this area?
No, there are not.
Do you now manage other nightly rentals?
No, I just help my clients get their stuff set
up.
You
don't physically manage any systems?
No. No, I have monthly rental investments of my own that I do, but no nightlies.
Okay, has the commission got any more questions for the applicant or the?
Do you have anything?
But your husband has managed properties in the past.
Though. Yep, so my husband has as well.
He has a lot of experience doing
yep.
that, right?
He does. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, keep yourselves available, but have a seat.
Okay.
We'll see what the public has to say. This first name, I have trouble reading it. Looks like a David. Was that you, David, that signed up first? Did you sign
yes,
the seat?
That was me.
Okay. Tom Rankin is up first.
Good evening. My name is Tom Rankin. We live at 184 Parkside, which is just around the corner. You can see Parkside here. We're just a little bit off the map. And I'm not sure how many residents in our neighborhood signed up to speak in opposition, but I would, just for the sake of you all, see how many here are in opposition. If I could ask my fellow neighborhood residents to stand if you are opposed to this, if you're not going to be speaking. Thank you. It seems like we're here about probably once a year fighting nightly rentals. We had a house across the street from us that was using, didn't have a special use permit, but they were using nightly rentals. And we were here for public hearings fighting that, and finally they stopped, but they just took it upon themselves to do nightly rentals. And it was a mess. I mean, we have a family of my wife and four kids. We had turnover across the street from us, upwards of 15 people spending the night, six, eight cars, night after night. Turnover was just crazy, and it was a mess. It was a mess to our neighborhood, and we fought this on multiple occasions with different people that have had nightly rentals, and our neighborhood has been steadfast in our commitment to keep a neighborhood. It's been a great neighborhood for families. We enjoy each other. We have a fabric of our neighborhood, and turning it into something at nightly rentals is just it's just not appropriate. I mean, you saw the size of the house, and nothing against the applicant, but a five-bedroom house, 12 people in that house, you know, where are they all going to park? I mean, I know where they're going to park. They're going to park on the street. They're also probably going to come with boats or jet skis, and I ask, you know, where are all those going to park? I mean, it says a total of 6 parking spaces are going to be provided, but, you know, I just don't see it, especially when you bring jet skis and things of that nature. There are people going to come to the lake to use it. You know, they say they're going to use it for 13 weeks, or use the use permit for 13 weeks, but, you know, trying to enforce that, I mean, there's 52 weeks in a year, and I've got a feeling that if somebody wants to rent it some period outside that window, they're probably going to be open to it. I mean, the reason you'd want to have a nightly rental in a residential neighborhood is for financial gain, and I don't fault them for having financial gain, but it's not appropriate in a residential neighborhood. I mean, how many of you all would like to have the house next to you occupied by 12 people and it would turn over every 2 days? It's just not appropriate. We have plenty of rentals in this area that people can go to rent a house. You can go down the street to Vickery and rent a condo if you want. And I'm sure several of the people that they might have spoke to at Vickery, and maybe they were condo owners that don't live there full-time, but they have their condo in a rental pool maybe. And, of course, they don't care because they're not part of the fabric of our community, of our neighborhood, like we are. You know, what we experienced was the hours of activity was around the clock across the street from us. I mean, there were people coming and going all the time. And a property manager that's not on site can't control that. You know, there's, I talked about the inadequate parking. You know, I didn't talk about RVs. If there are people are going to come in with RVs, you know, maybe to stay there, where are they going to park those? You know, we've done very well in fighting nightly rentals in our neighborhood. And we would ask that you allow that to continue to oppose nightly rentals. It's just not appropriate in our neighborhood. We don't want to start making an exception today. We want that to continue to be a great neighborhood without nightly rentals. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe it's Carolyn Maxwell.
I live at 204 Potential Drive, and I have another couple other lots there, and I have a very large investment. I also know that there was a covenant when I bought the property back in the 90s that protected it as a residential, and I'm like Tom, you know, I have concerns about all the noise of these people. And I know of, I am a realtor, by the way, so I know what happens. They come in, they stay up until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They disrupt, they park all over the streets, all over the yards. It's just not good for the neighborhood. And so I am very much against it. You know, if they want to rent a house, let them rent it for 6 months. I have rentals. But I would never, ever turn a rental into a nightly. That's a mess. You cannot control. And I don't care all the guidelines in the world that they have on a piece of paper. Renters do not abide by what they say they're going to do. Yes, we'll be in bed by 11 o'clock. No, we won't park on the grass. That's just not true. And, you know, I have a very large investment, and so does my neighbors. And I would hope that you would consider that. Thank you for letting me speak.
Okay. Does anybody have any more questions for the applicant?
We've got a letter here also, people that live outside the 600 foot that wasn't allowed to, didn't get a.
I don't know if I saw that. Okay, this will be voted on next meeting, a week from tonight.
I just come forward and give you these. I'd like you gentlemen to have the letters from the people who were okay with it. They can have these through the file.
Okay. And,
thank you.
You're welcome. Next on the agenda.
You ought to give a chance to leave, Rick.
Huh?
Give them out there and leave before we start the other.
Yeah, I wondered about that too.
They're going to anyway.
Okay, next on the agenda is Walking Affordable Housing.
This is case number 2014-3. The project is the Walkington Affordable Housing. The applicants are Nathan and Amy Burton. This is the property in question. The property is located in the 500 to 600 block of Walkington Lane. It's in the Scott Township, Section 34, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got a view from the north. It's a little hard to see. I didn't want to outline the property in question for whatever reason. From the south, from the east, and from the west. The applicants are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Walkington Affordable Housing Project, a mobile home park allowing for up to 149 mobile home spaces with an associated outdoor storage and parking area. The applicants have indicated that the Walkington Affordable Housing Development will be located upon two adjoining parcels of land with a total acreage of approximately 23.36 acres per the property boundary survey. The first parcel of land is approximately 19.5 acres and is currently vacant. And the second parcel of property to the south here is approximately 6.14 acres, according to the assessor's information, and is currently vacant as well. The proposed Walkington Affordable Housing Development will be located again on a total of approximately 23.36 acres, and it actually includes this parcel and this second parcel here. This affordable housing development will provide for up to 149 spaces for mobile homes with a density of over 6 mobile homes per acre. In review, the Walkington Affordable Housing Development is a mobile home park proposal which will provide up to 149 mobile home spaces with an associated outdoor storage and parking area. As stated, at 149 mobile home spaces, the development would have a density of over 6 mobile homes per acre. Per the provisions of Appendix L of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum density for a mobile home park shall not exceed 8 mobile homes per acre. Per the provisions of Table J1, or basically the on-site parking performance standards of the Development Guidance Code, two parking spaces are required per home unit, with one additional space for every two home units as guest spaces. The staff is concerned that the current configuration may allow for adequate parking only when factoring in the storage and parking area, which is enumerated as Tract C on the property boundary survey. This area is currently served by the Taney County Regional Sewer District. The Taney County Regional Sewer District will require the applicant to obtain a capacity analysis via the sewer district's engineering firm at the applicant's cost. The area in question is served by public water via the Taney County Public Water Supply District number 2. Walkington Lane is a county-maintained road until approximately the location of its intersection with North Fork Road. The driving surface of Walkington Lane narrows rapidly on the portion that is privately maintained. The applicants have indicated that they will ensure that the private portion of Walkington Lane falls within a 50-foot right-of-way. The staff is recommending that the applicants make the necessary upgrades to the portion of Walkington Lane that is currently privately held and maintained, ensuring compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. A portion of the property in question, as indicated as Tract 2 on the property boundary survey, currently contains a spillway area for Holtz Lake, which feeds into an unnamed creek that discharges into Lake Taneycomo. There is also an unnamed creek that traverses the property immediately north of the Cedarwood Acres subdivision. Although these two areas are not recognized by FEMA as a special flood hazard area or floodplain, the staff recommends that the development of these two areas be limited to green space due to potential flooding risks. The adjoining property to the north and to the east is predominantly vacant and light residential. The adjoining property to the south is the Cedarwood Acres residential subdivision, with the Woodlands at Cross Creek residential subdivision being located further to the south. The adjoining property to the west is the Spring Meadows residential subdivision, and there's also a piece of property that was previously approved for a daycare use and also property that was previously approved for a storage use as well. Per the provisions of Appendix L of the Development Guidance Code, For developments that include 24 or more lots or spaces, a minimum of 10% of the total area must be developed and maintained for recreational purposes. This area will count as part of the total open space provided. The property boundary survey doesn't currently enumerate exactly what amount of green space is indicated. It may actually be above that minimum 10%, but it was a little difficult to calculate. The project received a score of negative 12 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 63. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, off-site nuisances, use compatibility, underground utilities, preservation of critical areas, and traffic. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Road Standards that include plans for the following. A, sediment and erosion control. B, stormwater management. C, land grading permit for all disturbances of over 1 acre. D, utility easements and building line setbacks. E, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. F, a complete landscape and buffering plan showing the location, size, and planting materials for all buffer yards, both adjacent to public rights-of-way and residential properties. G, a traffic impact study shall be submitted to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department. H, an engineering public improvement plan shall be submitted to and approved by the Taney County Road and Bridge Department prior to the completion of road improvements. And I apologize, there's an error there. Second, compliance letters from the Taney County Regional Sewer District, the Taney County Public Water Supply District Number 2, the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three, the development of the portion of the property in question enumerated on the property boundary survey as Tract 2 shall be limited to green/open space in perpetuity. Four, a 50-foot wide riparian buffer shall be established along the existing unnamed creek which traverses the property immediately north of the Cedarwood Acres subdivision. No development shall occur within this riparian buffer zone in perpetuity. Five, prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicant shall ensure the necessary upgrades are made to the portion of Walkington Lane that is currently privately held and maintained, ensuring compliance with Taney County Road and Bridge standards. Six, Division 1 permits shall be required for all applicable structures, both mobile homes and applicable accessory structures in the development. Seven, prior to the issuance of any Division 1 permits for mobile home placement, the applicable private drive serving the mobile home in question shall either be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge standards, or the applicant shall post an appropriate surety for 110% of the cost of construction in compliance with the provisions of the Development Guidance Code. Eight, prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicant shall ensure that the applicable sewer and water connections are in place. Nine, all outside storage shall be limited to the designated storage and parking area. Travel trailers, campers, boat, and similar vehicles shall not be allowed on any mobile home space, but shall be stored in the designated parking and storage area. The parking and storage area shall be screened on all sides via an opaque or privacy fence. 10, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 11, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a video of this. I'll apologize at the front end. We drove this, and so it does bump around quite a bit. And basically, in this case, it's a large enough area that we just essentially drove pretty much all of Walkington Lane. This is actually an area on the site plan that's referred to as Tract 2. the biggest concern the staff had in this area is basically there's a unnamed creek that runs through this area, and that was really the primary concern in that area.
Excuse me, Bob, is that a platted street?
It is. And it's county maintained, from my understanding, up to that gate. Once you get beyond that gate, this is all privately maintained, from my understanding. These are some of the adjoining homes. Like I said, once you get beyond the portion of the road that's county maintained, the road does narrow quite a bit. I do apologize. This isn't the best quality video, just the way the sun was shining that morning. And this is the property that was previously approved for a daycare, and it's a separate small parcel. And we're also nearing a parcel that was previously approved for storage as well.
For the people who signed up to speak, if you paid attention to the staff recommendations there, if they answered any of the questions you might have about this property, then more than likely the staff recommendations will become what we do. Could I have the applicants come up? It would be Nathan Burton. Can I explain briefly, Nathan, before we get into the public comment on this, what you're doing here?
Okay. Well, essentially, we're looking to put mobile home sites up there. We have not finalized any plans. Obviously, some of that will depend on how this process goes. So we've been a little bit patient. Ideally, what we would have is something limited to seniors. I don't think anyone's going to argue against the need for affordable housing and seniors being the largest growing population group in the area or in the country. That's kind of what we're hoping to, but we haven't done any studies as far as demand or feasibility on that. But ideally, we would, like I said, have mobile home sites available for seniors.
Are you happy with the staff recommendations that are in here?
Well, I tried really hard to listen to them, and I didn't hear anything that just jumped out of me at me as being a problem. I would definitely probably call tomorrow and try and get them to email me a copy of that so I can look through it, make sure I can make you guys happy on those.
So are you going to put an age limit on this?
We would like to. I hesitate to say that, yes, because I want to make sure there's...
Well, if you're talking about seniors, you'd have to put it.
Oh, if we do get going that route, we absolutely would put an age limit on it.
Well, we would need to know that before we make any decisions.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, if it's going to be a senior living facility, we would need to know that.
Okay. Can you speak up a little bit, everybody?
Hold it late, ma'am.
You can speak up.
Okay, any questions? More questions for the applicant?
I've got a question on the plat you got here, the density of these mobile homes. Can you kind of explain where the parking of these residents are going to be? Will it be on site of each of the mobile homes? Or
for their vehicles?
Right.
Yes, sir.
There might be a pointer up there.
Unfortunately,
yes, sir. I believe the way the engineer designed this, he left room in front of each one of those units for parking.
So they're going to park on the front of the mobile between the mobile and the street.
That was my understanding. The way he designed that, yes, sir.
These plats are kind of small, but I don't see any dimension. What are the size of these lots, basically? Each individual lot.
The width. Wow. I don't see it up there. I thought it was on there also. I want to say the width was 100 feet deep by 30-something feet wide.
Well, a normal big mobile is 16 by 80.
Okay.
And then if you put a double wide on there, it could be. Could
yeah,
be
there wouldn't be
wide.
Any double wides on any of those. It wouldn't. I know that when he drew this up, it was with the understanding that there would be the correct buffers on each side of the mobile units. And if we put double wides and we went to plat it, we'd have to increase the size of the lots.
So do you think it's 30 by 100?
30-something by 100 is what I remembered him saying.
Well,
I thought it was on the plat somewhere.
What I'm looking at is if you look at the end of these dead-end streets, you see where the cul-de-sacs are, they encroach. How does that meet setbacks with the mobile homes that are designed?
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of those lots there that they would have to alter the way they plot that to make it work. I can see a couple of those already. And I know there's a lot of those at the bottom edge. If that 50-foot riparian buffer was down through that valley, a lot of those would have to go away anyway.
Do you propose to own any of these mobiles that will be set up there?
Well, the intent is to own the property and then manage it and just rent the sites.
Rent the sites then.
Yes, sir.
So you won't physically own any of the mobile homes that would be there? And i.e. use them for rentals?
In the beginning, I couldn't afford to own a bunch of mobile homes. I mean, I can't say that I wouldn't eventually buy a few and put on some of the sites as money was available.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to see another plat. Yeah. More up to date and more feasible. I mean, Randy, what do you think? Since you're the road and bridge. Because I don't think this
the
will
way this site plat looks to me, where you've got the part of the road ring encroaching on the lots and almost on top of where the football homes, I don't know how that's going to work. Where are the people going to park? And I mean, too concentrated, I think, for the size.
I agree.
So, I mean, a revision of the plat make it more doable might be something to look at.
I think for us to go further, we're going to have to see something that's more feasible.
I agree.
I mean, because this is not feasible as far as we're concerned.
Okay.
Like Randy indicated there, the density here is, I mean, you're talking about a lot of cars and a lot of parking.
Even though it is, as far as the regulations, it's fewer mobiles than can be there, in this particular instance, I don't see how they can all fit that. My opinion is we'd almost have to table it until we saw a new plat. I mean, I hate to bring you in front of the board next week and just vote it down if there's something feasible. How does everybody else feel about that?
I feel the same way. Yeah, we're basically concerned about the density of this and the impact it would have.
Yours. Make a motion. Vote on it.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Well, do we need to wait till next week to do that?
No, we can make a motion right now to table it until we come up with a more viable plan. And then we can cease the discussion.
Dave, are you making that motion or is he?
I think that was his motion.
Well, I would make that motion to table this project until we see an updated plat. It's more feasible to fit the area.
Can I get you to email those requirements, and I'll go ahead and put those onto the new plat also?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second. Okay, we have a motion and a second that we table this until we get more concise information, especially the plat. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Now, what do we do about the public comment?
I think the entire thing's tabled, right?
You can't give public comment on something that's not acceptable to us. There's no, I mean, you're just...
So this would be rescheduled for...
You're talking about something that's already been...
Rick, there are two or three hands up
there. One question I do have...
Come up here, sir.
One question I do have is when he's ready, we all have to come back again, because I have a lot of people that are opposed to this for several reasons.
We understand that, sir, but if you can't, if we're not allowing this one to happen without any public comment anyway, then you don't know what the next one's going to be, and we can't really evaluate and really seriously consider a comment on something that we don't even know what's happening about.
Well, the problem is because of the mobile homes. I mean, he's going to put those up anyway.
He can't put them up unless we okay it. The situation.
Well, I mean, the idea hasn't changed, is what I'm getting at. He still wants to put those, is what I'm getting at. That's not going to change.
Well, this will have to be rescheduled as another public hearing, and you'll get your chance at that point in time to come and comment on it.
One thing that I do have. I went around my neighborhood. I'm the chairman of the board of the Homeowners Association for Spring Meadows Subdivision. And I went around my neighborhood to get petitions. A handful of us got notices about this in the first place.
Well, sir, now
so we wouldn't even known about this hearing.
Sir, you're notified with it now. You will have your chance to speak at the next public hearing on this matter.
Will I get a notification on it?
Yes, you should.
Okay.
Well, anyone within 600 feet... of the property.
Well, I'm on North Fork. I get to look at the parking lot right behind my house.
Well, there is county regulations on how far the notification goes out, and as Bob says, it's 600 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the property also in question will be posted ahead of time.
Yeah, it'll be reposted.
There's always
and
a
you'll
public
have your,
posting of it.
And you'll have your chance to speak on this matter when we have the real public hearing.
Okay. You got one back here in the corner.
He's got a question.
Excuse me? There'd be 1 month from the day, or 4 weeks from there, whatever, the second Monday.
Yeah, the next public hearing
in May
would be...
Including the
notice
time, because
you'll
have to
read
notice. Would be
May 12th.
It'd be May 12th. May 12, unless he withdraws or he doesn't get the information to us. He'll have to come back for concept, won't he?
Yeah.
Does that start all over? Notification and everything.
contact Ray Herring will be on the 5th.
You should have at least let us have our say before you close the hearing.
The contact hearing on this matter on the 5th, and the public meeting will be on the 12th.
Well, and in my mind, we've already had, you know, we've already held a concept. So.
Yeah, we've already held a concept. Are you going to have to send out?
That was my thought. Is
you ma'am, right if, now the way it, at this point, he has no approval. Because
we haven't taken public comment, I think we should renotice everything.
What?
There won't be a
I have more comments than ever. This is what he said. My goodness. I mean, I can go home and read the
right to come on. I didn't catch it either.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I'd like for everybody to just remain calm and be quiet till we can kind of sort this out, okay?
Let her comment over here.
I mean, at this point, you've already held the concept hearing, but my thought is if it's tabled till next month, we would be required to re-advertise it. If that's the decision of the commission.
Well, wouldn't it change the concept if he changes this?
The flat?
No, I don't. Wouldn't that change the concept?
He's still essentially asking for the same use. I mean, it may change the density, but...
Can we make sure that... I know we do the best we can, but we need to make sure that everybody within 600 feet of a property is notified.
Yes.
You will be notified again.
We were
600 feet of the
property. The homeowners association got one letter, sir, and the one person at the very bottom of North Fork got a letter, and only because I heard from him was the only reason that we knew until we got a phone call from the woodland folk up above, and that's the only notification. There's a new subdivision that's going in right below us, and of homes. And that fella has all of his property that he's building all those homes, and he never got a word. And he's about there busy building homes out there and finding out he's going to have a mobile home park for his
Ma'am, you now know that on May 12th there will be a public hearing here. And if you sign up, you can express your comments.
Will it be at the same time?
Yes, 6 o'clock.
We put it in public notice. It's in the newspaper.
Yes,
I mean, it's out there.
It's required.
They do the best that they can do as far as giving you notice.
Is it advertised online? Is it on the
website? It's online too, right?
It's on the website. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The agendas normally are.
I can let them know the cost on the website
anymore. That's for sure.
No.
We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, please leave quietly and quickly. We still have a meeting to go on.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
I was kind of thinking that myself.
Don't get in a hurry for our account.
I don't think he ought to have a problem.
We didn't have much to talk about anyhow.
Yeah. We still got something on the agenda.
I feel like if they do, I wouldn't want to watch them in their next meeting. I think if he does, he's going to be rewarded for a page.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please? Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you're not, have anything up, please. It's just a big guy out there.
Can we discuss this any after everybody leaves?
Yeah, and still, they don't have to leave. We haven't closed the meeting yet.
Randy is going to speak.
I don't think any of that partial two should even come to you.
Should be what?
Partial two.
See, he's got that laid out like it was
that
flat.
Could even be
yeah, flat. I mean, we can sure ask. I don't see why we couldn't ask.
They ought to be able to do it.
But I think, really and truly, I think we've made a mistake here in procedure, probably.
How's that?
Well, I think we've got to hear those people, and then we've got to turn it down, and then they've got to come back, really, technically, if you really follow it completely. Yeah.
Never, ever do that.
Yeah.
And they were here for a public hearing.
They wanted to yell at somebody and they didn't get a chance. And
well, maybe we should have done that.
I think we probably made a technical error.
Next week, that's when you do your business.
Well,
you let Nathan bring his new plat that you've asked him to us this week and present it next week and then decide.
Is it too late?
We didn't have time to look at it, or we did have time to look at it, we liked it, or we didn't.
Yeah,
that's
I'd say
too late
because they're
not
probably
at
public
hearing. So you've
got
a whole room full of people you didn't let talk to.
Is it too late to bring them back?
Yeah, I think at this point you've made the decision
to. Time you better not open the door.
Well, and at this point, the decision's been made to table it to next month. So
we made a decision.
The other answer would have been to just vote it down.
We can't redo that.
The other answer would have been just vote it down.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I'm not arguing that. But I'm talking about to do this
today.
In other words, keep all our ducks in a row and do this properly. Why? I think we've made an error.
We made the error.
Well, I guess that was probably me.
I second
it. Who seconded?
Well, I'm not blaming anybody.
No,
that's not
but that's
my
exactly
place to blame
right.
anybody. I'm just.
But if you do it, you have to have the public hearing. They have to speak, even though it's on something that you're going to table.
Yeah, because they were here.
And they don't know what we're going to do with that.
I really think it might have been best to actually table it at the next meeting, at the vote. By that point, you've already held the public hearing. But, I mean, at this point, we've already,
in my mind,
decisions been made. And, you know, it's
you know, a lot of these people that came tonight might not be able to come back.
Yeah.
There'll be enough of them.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Ken, I got a question. I know your guidelines say 600 foot, but this involves two basic neighborhoods that lay outside that 600 foot, and a lot of them won't get notified. I know we got other advertising means, but
there again, Randy, you get back to the old premise that you can't change it for every meeting. You can't change and have new rules and regulations operate by. You have a set of rules and regulations, you make them fit the best you can, and then you move on.
Yeah.
None of them fit perfect.
And that distance is actually spelled out statutorily. It's literally just 600 feet from the parcel boundary, or the parcel, you know, if there's more than one.
We're only required to notify in one manner, and we notify all four ways. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing else we can do.
Oh, we're meeting the notification. You're meeting the notification.
We go above and beyond the minimum requirements.
This isn't the first time we've ever heard it. Well, I didn't know anything about it. You know. But,
I need to know who seconded
Ron.
One, Rick. Made I second.
If we're going to make a decision and it's not the right one as far as the way we operate the meeting, you need to say something.
Yes.
I mean, that needs to come from Bob. Don't you think? I mean, because we make mistakes. We need to know that we're making one.
Well, I think that people are going to get the chance to express.
Well, absolutely. But when we're making a decision that is a decision that is not following the regulations the way it's set up.
Well, I'd say most of the people that left is mad because they didn't get to speak.
You're right. Absolutely right.
You're probably right. They made the trip, and half of them supposed to be in bed. But if we'd have made the decision and listened to them, and we sat here and said, you know, okay, we understand all your problems, but this is not, we're not going to vote on it. This is not what we're going to see. when it comes time to vote on it,
yeah.
This is not going to be the.
But basically, you're not bound to say that to them. I mean, this is the present.
No, I mean,
this is a thing that is presented by the developer.
Yeah.
And we listen to this, and even though you know in your own mind, I mean, many projects I have my mind made up way before it all comes down. But right. Still, you've got. You know, you got to listen to the song and dance. That's our responsibility, and people have a right to speak up, and I'll defend that to the last bit. They've got that right.
Well, okay, if we were to hurt him tonight, and he changed this to where it suited everybody here, and we voted yes, all those people that was mad at this may not be mad at what he presents the second go around.
Yeah, they will. It's a mobile home park.
Yeah, well, you're right. But you know what I'm saying?
Don't blow smoke up my skirt.
Concept's going to remain the same. He's going to make a few minor changes. We're not going to vote until we hear the public, and then our vote won't be for a week after, so we may have a whole other set of questions or whatnot
that's
him to come back with anyway. So, but they definitely got to have their public.
Oh, absolutely.
They've got to have their day.
So we can't have the change and it come back now that we've made that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we've got to advertise the public hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to vote for that.
Oh, everybody's against it.
I'm not. Moving right along, what is this old and new business, scooters, multi-use buildings?
I didn't get an opportunity to bring it up on Beacon. I was going to have some aerial photography, but essentially that's the scooters property right outside of town here. They're wanting to build, from my understanding, a multi-purpose pole barn type building. We were planning on approaching that as a Division 2. But I guess I just wanted to confirm that the Planning Commission wouldn't view that as a change of use.
Is it in the parking lot of the existing Scooters 1? By the post office there?
Yeah, my understanding.
He puts a tent up to sell plants for a while, then he puts a tent up for fireworks. He's tired of the tents.
And so essentially he's wanting
a
permanent...
He wants the building instead of a tent.
Exactly. He's wanting more of a permanent structure for the fireworks and for the plant sales.
So is that all that property zoned commercial now?
Yeah, it's
and so started, and huh? So our thought was to approach it as a Division 3, Division 2. I apologize. I just wanted to get confirmation.
No, because it's not. It's off the top of my head.
Well, another reason that we wanted to ask you was because the Scooters building and the business. One piece of property?
Well, we actually discovered it's one large parcel.
Okay.
Yeah, it actually
that field,
is.
That field,
the whole parcel has been zoned already?
The field west of it, is that?
Yeah, it's all one big parcel is what we found, as far as parcel number, anyway.
Whenever it was zoned, it was the whole parcel or just part of it, like we do sometimes.
So many feet of the parcel.
Yet I haven't researched that part of it.
If it's already part of something that's been zoned, it could fall under Division 2 for that. Looks
yeah.
Like. But if it's not,
I thought that was two pieces of property when he built that.
I mean, that's just for my first thought off the top of my head.
Let's see. Bye.
Lonnie owned that whole thing when he was
going
back. Dave, his dad owned that whole little farm there.
Yeah, but what I was thinking about was it voted on when it came before planning and zoning. They might have just took a piece out of that farm before that. And if he's going to put it on a part that's already been zoned commercial and it's already been voted on and everything, then it would fall under Division 2. If it fell under a piece of land that hadn't ever had anything, which would be everything's actually agricultural before that time, then if it was agricultural, then he would need to come for this body, I think.
Randy, the spokesman for the...
I'm not sure if it's
that. Subdivision, Spring
Meadows. He's still out there. You just bring him back.
Let's see. It's wonderful. Pulls up under his name.
No.
No.
And I don't think you can do the singling one out.
Are we done?
Yep.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Me adjourn.
Okay.